Blog Talk Radio.
What's your storm right now? My storm has moved away.
I'm at peace.
Come on, you ought to lift your hands and thank Him for peace. Remember the day, Lord. I remember the moment, Lord. You came and laid your hands on me. And now, Lord, you died for me on Calvary. And now I can see my storm has moved away. You came and laid your hands on me, and now I can see clearly now the rain is gone. You came and laid your hands on me, and now it'll be all over in the morning. You came and laid your hands on me, and now, Lord, you died for me on Calvary, and now I can see my storm has moved. can see my storm has moved away.
Amen, 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 amen. To God be the glory. We thank God. We thank God for this evening. We know that it's nothing but the grace of God that He allows our storms to move over. He allows us to recognize, know, and understand who we are in Him, that we have the power, we have the ability to be able to declare and decree that whatever the mountain is that's before you, that you have the ability to move that mountain out of your way. And I thank God this evening once again for this December the 3rd, 2012. I thank God for the opportunity that He has allowed us to spend in this day. My name is Tammy Storr. We'll be joined, as always, by Brother Jesse Storr, who we're so grateful and thankful for the word and season that God has in store for us tonight. As always, we want to bring forth the Holy Spirit. Spirit, invite Him in and just thank Him for being with us and thank Him for always walking with us and helping lead, guide, and directing us in all that we do. And we just want to take this time where there's two or more that are gathered together that we're calling upon the name of Jesus, and we know He will be in the midst. So, Father God, in the name of Jesus, I come before Your throne of mercy as always, thanking You. Thank You, Lord God, for this opportunity. As I come before Your throne, asking, Lord God, that You would be in the midst of every spoken word that will come forward on the Blog Talk Radio show tonight. Thanking You, Lord God, that there will be a word in season for someone on this call, on this Blog Talk show tonight, that will receive revelation knowledge through, Father, one of Your brothers or sisters that You have placed on a special assignment tonight to share in a mighty way. I come as always, Lord God, thanking You for the men and the women that have come together tonight, those that are married, those that desire to be married, to, Father, continue to study the shelf, so to show themselves approved of exactly what it is, Lord God, that You have in store for them in their marriage. And I pray in the name of Jesus, Lord, that for those that You've already connected in oneness, that You brought together in holy matrimony, that You will allow us, Lord God, to fight together, to stay strong together, to be able to stand on Your word bold enough together, to be able to fight the enemies of the devil. And we know, Lord God, the wiles of the devil, we know, Lord God, that he's coming after us at every call. He's there to steal, kill, and destroy what You've put together, Lord God. And I thank You, Lord, that You've given us the power and the ability to be able to declare and decree a word over our lives, over our loved ones' lives. And we know, Lord God, that it's done in Jesus' name. I thank You this evening that You will give us all an opportunity, Father God, to share through transparency on where You brought us from and where we desire to go in Your name, Lord God. I thank You this evening, Lord, that You will continue to mend the marriages back together that have fallen apart and gone astray. And I know, Lord God, You have the power within Your own hands to be able to bring these powerful couples back together and let them, Lord God, recognize, know, and understand what they have in You. I pray, Lord God, that we will be patient one with another as spouses, that we will understand the appropriate time to edify one another, to respect each other, to be able to be loving individuals to each other. And Lord God, in the name of Jesus, and I pray that You would remind us each and every day, let us place it on our heart, Lord God, the fruit of the Spirit, and let us operate as much as we possibly can through the fruit of the Spirit in our lives and all that we do. And I know, Lord God, if we put that word forth in our lives first, that we will be able to be successful in everything we do, including, Lord God, being the best spouse on this side of heaven, being the best parent on this side of heaven, being the best co-worker on this side of heaven, being the best, Lord God, brother or sister on this side of heaven. I know, Lord God, that You have so many blessings for all of us that, Lord God, if we just live by your word, that we will have room enough to receive them as you open up the windows of heaven for us. And I pray, Lord God, as you bless us and open up all of those blessings to flow within our households, that we would be so willing and so grateful to go out and share with another brother or sister that may be in need tonight. We know there's so many that their marriages are struggling because of their finances, Lord God. And I'm praying in the name of Jesus that, Lord God, you would turn it around for them, that you will allow prosperity to overflow their lives like never before, that they will work together, Lord God, and continue in oneness in their finances and in all that they do. I thank you tonight, Lord, that you will continue to allow us to recognize and understand that the little things that we do make a difference in everything. And I pray, Lord God, that you will bless us to be able to say thank you and I appreciate you, I love you. We don't say those words enough, Father. I'm just charging my brothers and my sisters today that you will say to your spouse at every opportunity, thank you, even for the little things. I pray today, Lord God, that we would recognize, know, and understand that we can't read each other's mind, but, Lord God, you would allow us to recognize that we just need to ask the question if we don't understand, and we need to ask for help if we need it from one spouse to the other. And today, I thank you for the willing spirits, Father God, that are under the sound of my voice that are willing to just go above and beyond whatever it is and whatever they need to do to have success in their marriage. I thank you, Lord God, that as you put us together in oneness, that you allow us to work together, Lord God, that we don't feel as though that we as women have one specific job that we're responsible to do in our household, such as cook or clean, that we do it as a team, both husband and wife, that we don't expect the man to just go out and make all the money and pay all the bills, but if you have, Father God, positioned us as women, as wives, to go out and have, Father God, a wonderful career, that we're willing to contribute financially as well. And I thank you for the teamwork that you would put together in all of these marriages and for those that come on this line, Father, on this Blog Talk Radio show to be able to find out what it takes to be a great spouse, Lord God. I pray that you put it in their spirit what it is that they need to do so that when you put them with their perfect soulmate, Father God, that they would recognize, know, and understand what it is that they have to do. And so tonight, Lord God, I'm praying for all of those that desire to be married, that they, Father God, remain patient unto you to wait on their perfect soulmate. And I thank you tonight, Lord God, for the wonderful man that you blessed me with. I thank you for our brother Jesse Storr. I pray that everything that he puts his hand to, that it would be blessed by you, Lord God. I thank you for anointing his mouth, his vocal cords tonight as he delivers a word for each and every one of us. Dissect that word for our understanding tonight, Lord God. Let us be able to apply it to our daily lives and recognize, know, and understand that we, Father, through your word, have the ability to declare and decree that no weapon that tries to form against us, it shall nor will prosper. But in the name of Jesus, oh, we thank you for prosperity in every area of our lives. I thank you tonight, Lord God, once again, for each and every one of these powerful, God-fearing men and women that are on this line. I'm asking many blessings to be bestowed upon them for the dedication and the commitment that they have for the Blog Talk Radio Show each and every Monday night, that you would bless them in a mighty way, that you would continue to help them recognize, know, and understand, Lord God, that it's your grace, it's your mercy that has carried them through. And let's give them a secret tonight, Lord God. It's your grace and it's your mercy that will continue to see them through from day to day. I love you, Lord God, and I thank you, Father, for all that you have done in my life. I never take you for granted. And I pray in the name of Jesus, Lord God, that you will continue to allow me to walk with you so that you can continue to lead, guide, and direct my path so I can be the best individual on this side of heaven to help make a difference in every individual's life that you position me to minister to. I love you, Lord God, and I thank you once again for this opportunity for you to hear our special prayer to you. And we thank you in advance for answering each and every one of our calls out. In the mighty name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, I pray this prayer. Amen, amen, and amen.
Amen. Let the church say amen. We praise God for my queen. Thank God for my wife, Tammy. Such a wonderful, wonderful person. I thank God for all of her ministry gifts. And I touch and agree with her prayer tonight for all of our brothers and sisters. Greetings, my brothers and sisters. We greet you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. evening from McDonough, Georgia. Giving our Father all glory and honor. We thank God as we have been reflecting this evening, and we thank God again for the ministry gifts of my wife, who is visiting a friend, actually, right now. She's broadcasting and was sharing that prayer down from Emory Hospital, and we are in agreement with her and her prayers as prayers go out for our good sister, Chanel Slaughter, and her mother for such a time as this. We're touching and agreeing and believing that all things will work together for good, that she can be restored even at this particular time. So we praise God this evening that the love that's been poured out for her, the love that's being shared for her mother, would indeed be manifested, would indeed be manifested in her health. And we just thank God this evening. We thank God this evening for just the many beautiful gifts, the ministry gifts that are made available to us when we are willing to go and do the work of our Father. And we touch and agree right now that whatever those needs are, whatever infirmities that may be attacking her body, we're just in total agreement that victory will indeed be hers. And we give God glory and honor. In Jesus' name, amen. We praise God for a wonderful time we had this weekend, my queen and I, in the past 2 days since we went down and we journeyed down to Atlanta and was part of the Global Peace Convention. And during the last 2 days, we were just overwhelmed with the love and the possibility of coming together as believers, of coming together as men and women around this world. Because as a theme of this particular conference, we are one nation under God, one family under God, that regardless of where we may have been born, regardless of what continent, what nation, what state, what city, what town, regardless of what ethnicity we may have been manifested to receive on this earth, the fact remains that we are all one. We all come from the same origins. And while we know that in the Word of God there's a table of nations and there's an explanation, at least where all of us come from, at the end of the day, we know that there must be a common ancestry. And regardless of what has taken place, if the part of who we are and what we look like may be predicated by where we may have been born, of our ancestors, of how many years they may have been exposed to the sunshine, or how many years they may have not been exposed to the sunshine, the fact of the matter is that we all come together as one. And because of that, we should look for, more than not, how can we come to common objectives, common goals, common alignment, that we might become what God is, and God is love. And if we reflect over the past few days and continue to give thought to this particular lesson tonight about the value of peace and the necessity of peace and the governance of peace and the covenant of peace, this basic requirement that must exist and must take place in marriage. For without peace, it's not possible for us to even think about enjoying or receiving or realizing oneness in marriage. Peace is a prerequisite. It's a foundational gift and necessity to see oneness in marriage. For without peace, without the assurance, without the governance, without the protection, without the security of peace in a relationship, oneness cannot prevail. Many of us grew up in households and where we did not see peace, where we saw more war than peace, where we saw more hostility than tranquility, where we were constantly being bombarded with both verbal and physical and spiritual abuse. And it had a very devastating and adverse effect on our perspective as it relates to peace in marriage. And in this 21st century, It has manifested itself so much that even some ladies and some women, some girls, females, that you would think otherwise, have began to even unknowingly, almost like unwittingly, began to embrace and accept a certain element of discontent, a certain element of disharmony, a certain acceptance of being, for lack of a better term, used and manhandled by their men and by their husbands. And see, that's wrong. That's not part of the peace process that God ordained from the beginning. That's not part of the peace plan that God had in mind when he brought us together in Genesis 2:24 and said that we would leave our mothers and our fathers and we would come and cleave together and we would become one flesh. See, you cannot become one flesh. You cannot become one by being at war. You cannot become one other than by being at peace and in peace and having a peace of each other. And so tonight we want to discuss the value of peace, the covenant requirement of peace in marriage. And yes, over the last few days, it's been a very trying and difficult time. And I must admit that my heart and my spirit has been grieved, as there are people that are near and dear to me, couples that we know, friends and family, that have been going through some very difficult times and have been battling and have been subjected to spiritual warfare. They have been subjected to the strategy of the enemy, which is to steal, kill, and to destroy. And because of that, we have been thinking about, we've been discussing, we've been meditating on it, we've been seeing the value of continuing to do what we have been doing. And what that is that we know now more than ever that we must press forward in the concept of marriage, in the sovereignty of marriage, in the value of marriage. Because without marriage, without that relationship, without that nurturing, without children being able to see the possibility of oneness, without children having a model in their mind that man and woman can make it in harmony, that there can be peace, then it's very difficult for us to think of what life may be like in the 21st century. So we just praise God. We praise God for everything that he can do, everything that he will make available to us if we learn how to come together with peace, if we learn how to come together as one. Now, don't get me wrong. We know and we understand that there are situations that happen where one party or the other in a marriage may say, "You just don't understand. If you had been through what I've been through, you would understand why it's not possible for me or it's not possible for us to be together." I'm sure that in your heart, in your spirit, in your mind, you can justify any decision you may make, any decision you may have already made as it relates to throwing in the towel, as it relates to staying in war, as it relates to all of those things. And how can any of us begin to understand even some of the things that happened tragically this week in Kansas City, where a 25-year-old professional football player killed his 22-year-old girlfriend, the mother of their child, in front of his mother, and then went down to the camp of the Kansas City Chiefs and then killed himself in front of others. Who can imagine the kind of internal warfare that must have been going on, the kind of turmoil, what could cause someone to actually commit such an act? Well, we know it was because there was not peace. Peace was not ruling. Peace was not dominating. Peace was not controlling the mindset and the spirit of that young man, that he would be and be it, you know, from a certain perspective, you may say, and even have a sense of humility and a sense of loyalty in how the very act was carried out. But see, we know from reading the Word of God, there was a young man that was torn with confusion. There was a young man that was unbalanced in all of his ways, where he was confused, where he didn't really have a good perspective on what was going on and what he should have been doing. We may never know the real reason as to why people will commit such crimes, because it's a crime against yourself. And while we all feel and we all grieve for the families of those, for that baby who now will not grow up with a mother and a father, and we can only pray that some kind of way the baby will be able to be brought up in love and nurture. This is not the first time this has happened. We remember several years back a very similar thing happened with Steve McNair, where he had another lady, a friend, a girlfriend, a mistress, whatever you want to call her. But it was reversed. She killed him and then turned around and killed herself. We see these examples of murder-suicide that take place in the natural. And we sometimes wonder, what is it? What could cause two people that loved each other, two people that had come together and been in love, at least what it appeared to be, two people, what causes them to get to the point that one would desire to destroy the other? Well, we can all speculate, but at the end of the day, it's because that war, first of all, that war that was within them began to rule and take dominance over them. It began to take precedence in their thought process. And at some moment, when that final suggestive thought was placed into the subconscious and the meditation took place, that success and prosperity in that very act was manifested. And that's why it's so dangerous for us to meditate on thoughts and ideals and to use our imagination to get things accomplished, which we know are contrary to the will of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3, 4, and 5 gives us the formula that we should cast down vain imagination, that when we're into an argument, we're into a disagreement, and we begin to think about things that are contrary to the will of God, right at that moment, we should be praying and saying, Father, I cast down, I release, I loose from my mind, from my consciousness, these thoughts of destruction, these thoughts that will cause harm to come to my husband or to my wife or to my loved ones or to whoever. The Bible clearly says that we are to cast them down. We are to loose our minds from those thoughts. And we follow that up by saying, Father, I bind my mind, my heart, my will, and my emotions to love, to joy, to peace, to patience, to goodness, to kindness, to faithfulness, to gentleness, to self-control. See, if these things did not have an effect on us, it could not allow us to find success and prosperity, our Father would not have said them in His Word. And see, we so often fail to realize that we literally see before our very eyes all of those things that we read about in the Bible, all of those things that the Bible tells us are possible. We see them all the time, yet right, wrong, or indifferent, for whatever reason, we fail to believe they are true. But I can assure you they are true. Everything that you have accomplished in your life to this point, you are able to validate and find in the Word of God the prophecy that was given in that particular area. Whatever you have been able to achieve in life, good or bad, there was a period of time when you meditated on that situation. There was a period of time when you said to yourself, Self, this is something that I want to do. This is something that I need to do. And as you meditated on that thought process, you began to see it manifest and become real in your life. And so I'm suggesting to you this evening that if you want to have peace in your marriage, if you want to have peace in your own body, if you want to experience all of that, you must begin to see peace. You must begin to understand even what the Word has to say about peace. For we know in the Word of God, even in the Word of God, Jesus himself said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God, the children of God." So even Jesus said there is a value in being a peacemaker, that there's nothing positive when you fail to understand the value of peace. And so tonight, I believe God is speaking to us. And see, God can use many situations that to the world, they may seem contrary. To the world, it may seem crazy. But at the end of the day, if we are willing to listen to our Father, he's always willing to show us that there's something good that could come out of every situation. So as blatant and as in your face as some of those things have happened, and where we sit back and we literally begin to have tears that may roll down our face and think about the times when we may have encountered those very thoughts. We may have had the very thoughts that came to our own minds. And only because we were able to then pray, only because we were able then to trust in our Father, only then were we able to get back into a balance that allowed us to rebuke and to reject and to release that demon of destruction that was attempting to cause us to do something that we know would not have been pleasing to our Father. Let's take a pause. Let's go and get us a lemonade, a nice tea, or whatever we may be. Let's come back and let's look at why peace is so valuable, not only to us as individuals, but peace is so valuable to us who are in married relationships.
Some days it seems like it'd be easier to just let go. Remember what you prayed for. Yes. Don't give up. So no matter what you're going through right now, God can feel your pain. Believe
I was there. About over. But here's the good news. Listen.
All of your
dreams,
all of your desires,
yes they are, yes
are
they
coming
are.
To pass.
Whoa, whoa.
Isaiah 9:6 said that for us a child is born, to us a child is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. See, being able to walk in peace and authority is indeed a gift. But see, the enemy has shown us a world filled with more chaos, confusion, and war and disagreement than a world where we see peace or the prospect of peace. And so we grow up seeing that that's more like it should be, that we should be in conflict, that we should be in disagreement, that we should be at each other's throats. And because of that, we find ourselves oftentimes with burdens, with yokes. We find ourselves being inappropriately arrogant, condescending, inappropriately condemning, judging, which creates a bunch of confusion and animosity and anger and wrath and malice and unbelief and fear and doubt. All of those things which describe a person or a world devoid of the knowledge of God. But see, it's interesting. when we speak of such things, there are many that don't want to hear it. So many of us just don't want to hear it. As a matter of fact, just the other day, someone asked me the question, said, don't you get tired of talking about marriage? Don't you get tired of talking about this oneness thing? Don't you get tired of that? And I had to honestly say to them, in the flesh, I do. I said, in the flesh, I do, because in the flesh, I can't understand why we miss the mark so often. I said, every time in the flesh I get to that mindset, something will happen where God will show me and remind me why it's necessary. And that's when I began to press harder. Because in the flesh, I would be able to say and come up with some rational answer. People don't want to hear this. People tired of hearing this. Or people are right. It's not possible to have oneness in this century. It's not possible to have peace. When all around us violence is glorified, when all around us dysfunctional behavior, dysfunctional relationships, when all around us we see laws passed, where just this weekend I read a thing where I believe it was at West Point, where they had an openly gay couple, a same-sex couple, being married. And again, it's not about being judgmental when I say this. This is about saying, okay, if we go back to the beginning, and God said, and I will bless you, and you will be fruitful, and you will multiply. Well, when God was saying that, in my mind, just in my mind, I can't see how that pronouncement was for two people. I just don't see how that was for two people of the same sex. I will bless you, and you will be fruitful and multiply. How in the world could anyone ever conclude that meant two of the same sex? And again, I'm not attempting to judge. I'm simply sharing thoughts that came to my mind as I began to read some of this information. And see, what happens is this. As we begin to deal with the war that takes place within each and every one of us, Paul talked about that when Paul said, when I want to do good, I do bad. And see, most of it is because we still, even at this stage of our development, we have a very difficult time in trusting God. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, come to me, all who are tired from carrying heavy loads, and I will give you rest. Place your yoke over your shoulders and learn from me, because I am gentle and humble. Then you will find rest for yourselves, because my yoke is easy and my burden is light. See, if we would be able to truly receive all of what it means to be born again, all of the recreated power and energy that comes from that miraculous transformation for that new life, if we would be able to receive that, then peace, first of all, would come to us, would come to me. And I will learn to have peace within myself. If I can't learn to have peace within myself, if I cannot receive peace within myself, then how am I ever going to go out and be able to share peace with someone else? If I'm at turmoil, if I'm at disagreement, if I'm at conflict with myself, how in the world am I ever going to go out and be at peace with anyone else? And see, even there we have scripture to support that. When we go into the Word of God, there is scripture to tell us just how crazy it is when I'm thinking that way. When we think about James chapter 1 in verse 8, it begins to give us, and I'm going to read the Amplified because I think it gives a greater amplification. For being as he is a man or woman of two minds, hesitating, dubious, irresolute, he or she is unstable and unreliable and uncertain about everything he, she thinks, feels, or decides. And now if we go on and look at that next verse, it says, let the brother, sister, in humble circumstances glory in his or her elation as a Christian called to the true riches and to be an heir of God. See, if we can learn to humble ourselves, if we can learn to have a made-up mind, not be double-minded. I got a made-up mind that I'm going to love this woman. I got a made-up mind that I'm going to love this man. We will begin to get ourselves under control once we have that self-control and that love. Most of us, and we talked about this in weeks past, most of us that are men as well, it becomes difficult for us to love our wives because we haven't learned how to love ourselves. We haven't learned how to love ourselves because we're not at peace with who we are. For whatever reason, society convinces us that we are somebody different than what we should be. And so we let society create this facade, this image of who we're supposed to be, and then we find the real person of who we know we are is at odds with this societal created image. And since they don't coalesce and they don't come together, we find ourselves at war with ourselves. And since we're at war with ourselves, we then begin to embrace and take on unhealthy processes, unhealthy activities that begin to not only tear us down, they begin to then destroy and tear down the other relationships that God put in our life to make us whole. And, of course, the most powerful relationship to make us whole is the relationship of marriage. You know, the last week I heard news of, again, people that I love making a decision to throw in the towel. And you grieve because you know that they're good people and that they love God. But somewhere along the way, they forgot how to love each other. They forgot how to love each other because, again, in many ways, they forgot how to love themselves. They forgot how to cast that burden on our Father, to be able to lift off and loosen all of that sin that so easily beset them. They were unable to see that they were not one with each other, that it was not about the other person. They were unwilling to see that they were dealing with spiritual wickedness in high places. They were unwilling to see that the war that they were in and the things that they were up against had nothing to do with them as an individual, but it had everything to do with spiritual warfare. They forgot all of those things they had been taught, that we wrestle not with flesh and blood, contending only with physical opponents, but it's against the darkness, against the master spirits who are the rulers of this present world, of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places that continue to do things, create things, and allow things that will bring, for lack of a better term, spiritual funk into your life. And when we are unwilling to cast down those vain imaginations, you see, my brothers and sisters, this requires an active fight. When you find yourself getting into that spiritual funk, that emotional funk, that social funk. When you find yourself spiritually, mentally, socially, emotionally, when you find yourself moving into that particular lane, you must be able to recognize it. You must be able to cast it down. You must begin to speak to it. And see, we sometimes fail to believe literally that the word is true and that we can receive it and treat it that way. When Jesus was talking about faith, or when we read about faith, when it said it is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for, it is being the proof of things we do not see. It's the conviction of their reality. Faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses or to the flesh. So when that opportunity comes for you to be in disagreement with your spouse, do you get into agreement? When one spouse or the other speaks something that is contrary to God's will, the other spouse has a responsibility not to get into agreement, because it takes two to agree. That's why the word said, whenever two or more are gathered in my name. That's why Jesus sent them out two by two. See, when we're married, we must have the ability, somebody must have the maturity to say, I'm not in agreement with that. I'm not in agreement with that. The only time that you should be in agreement is when it's going to center and focus on peace in the relationship. Peace in whatever it is that you may be going through. That's when you get in agreement. But whenever someone launches that grenade that would allow all of you to be destroyed, somebody got to be willing to take the hit. As a matter of fact, one of my brother Jeffrey Pitts, to know, we had a chance to watch that Act of Valor this weekend, powerful movie. And in one of the scenes that really was the movie, there was an expectant father. When a grenade was thrown, you know this happens in a millisecond, but they slowed down this particular part of the movie, and I'm sure a lot of you have already seen it, but it was relevant to what we were speaking on. And that's how God works it out. I didn't know that movie would have been relevant on what we were going to be chatting about. But in this scene, this particular father, whose wife was pregnant, and she had told him to be careful, and he had done all of the things, and his father and his grandfather all had been military people. In this one split second when this grenade hit the ground, he saw the grenade, and he made the decision, because he knew that if he waited, all of the men would have possibly been killed. And so what he did, he jumped down on the grenade and took the hit. He basically, you could say, he sacrificed himself. He would have been, who knows, all of them may have been taken out, but to save the others, he took the hit and absorbed the damage that would occur from the grenade. There's a powerful scene in the movie. And as it relates to us, I know Tammy has mentioned a couple of different times about the woman being the weaker vessel. And, you know, she's got asked a couple of questions by sister sometime about, you know, why maybe do you say that, or what's the pertinence of that, blah, blah, blah. I looked at it the other way, and I said, if God said that we looked at the woman as the weaker vessel, and I shared this with some brothers earlier, that could also mean then maybe we brothers have to understand, we men of God have to understand, we got to take more punches. We may have to take more hits. We may have to sacrifice more, because we are the stronger vessel. And maybe that's why God, you know, used Paul to tell us in Ephesians over there, in that fifth chapter, when he said that You know, we have to love our wives as we love our own bodies. As we love our own bodies. And if we have to take more hits. And so since we have to take more hits, we have to maybe be more willing to forgive, more willing to ask for forgiveness, more willing to do those things that are required and are necessary in order for peace, in order for peace to prevail. And see, that mindset, again, is contrary to the mindset we see in America. Contrary to everything that we are programmed to believe. That the mindset that we are programmed to believe in this nation is we are highly individualistic. We believe that we can do all. Now, the American model, you got to understand, the American model in and of itself is an express example many times of what God said we are all about. The only difference is that most of the time, or often in America, when we see us flexing our muscles, they're not spiritual muscles that we flex. They're physical muscles. They're muscles that say we are willing to invest in our military more than the next 10 largest nations on the planet. But by virtue of doing that, when we speak, we say something because we are a superpower. We say it. And so, again, it puts in our mind a different orientation than what we read about in the Word of God, where it talks about how we should be as a stronger vessel. As a stronger vessel, if we were going to do oftentimes like America does, that's why we see it acting out. We see men being physically abusive to their wives. We see men being mentally abusive to their wives. We see this. I experienced it growing up. Because subliminally, even though men of color may have been subjected to a lot of wrongdoings, they also saw, felt, and believed that the one area where they could beat a man was to physically control, mentally control their wives. That was not from God. That was what men had learned to be the dominant model that existed in society. That's why when we see, even in the political sense, if someone would go and any kind of way make an apology for the United States of America, it's like a sign of weakness. Yet, we understand in the Word of God what Jesus was asked, how many times should I forgive my brother? He said 70 times 7. So in a marriage relationship where two believers are together and there is an element of discord that takes place, Jesus said to Peter, he was praying for him that his faith fell not. So when he would be converted, he was strengthening the brothers. And he said, don't allow discord to be sown amongst the brothers. In our marriage relationships, how often have we allowed discord to happen and then to be sown in the other activities? Are we able that when we disagree on a situation to leave it at the situation? Leave it at the situation. It doesn't have to go into anything else. You disagree that you should do this or that, or you disagree on what was the best part of the movie. You disagree on it's better to go 285 east versus 285 west. You disagree that you should go to the 8 o'clock or the 10 o'clock. I mean, sometimes the things that we disagree about, they are really not that significant. Yet because of our selfishness, and we talked about that a few weeks ago, because of our selfishness, we don't want to give it up. And I'm here to say, again, my brothers, since the word says men and women are the weaker vessels, some of those things we ought to go ahead and give up. Some of those things we are not even worried about. We ought to just give it up. And say, okay, my wife, okay, queen, Let's do it your way and not even worried about it. Now, when we come back from this break, I'd like to hear from you. This peace thing is powerful. Right now, we know that there's supposed to be peace discussions and peace accords going on over in the Middle East. You know, right now, everybody's still trying to get their process what happened this past weekend. Yet every weekend across this nation, something like that happens. Every weekend around this nation, every day around this nation, there's somebody, some woman, some sister, some mother, some daughter, some niece, some cousin, some brother, some son who has experienced spousal abuse. Yes, women, sometimes you beat up on some brothers as well. When we come back, let's continue this dialogue. Because my spirit is grieved after some of the things that I know I've heard about and been a witness to over these past few days. It's just grievous to see believers do this to themselves. It's really, really grievous. But let's talk about it anyway, because I do believe, regardless of what's taking on, is that oneness is possible in the 21st century.
There's a light shining on you, and baby, I'm trembling inside. Love the woman that I barely knew. I must have been out of my mind. Oh, I'll never. I know you deserve a better man. Hey, I was a fool, Emily. You now, so why would you stay? Woman, I beg your forgiveness, and I'll do whatever. May the Lord be my witness. Honey, I never meant to treat you this way. Sugar, your heart has been broken, but I can still see true love shining in your eyes. When every word woman, I love you for the rest of my life. Oh, I'll never hurt you again. Girl, I know you deserve a better man. Hey, I was a fool ever let you down. So why would you? Why you would stay, baby?
none of us, especially us men, will ever find ourselves in a situation where we have to say such words, where we would ever be faced with asking, pleading, begging our wives, and we're going to presuppose a wife asking them to stay. That never would be a reality for us. But see, today we know that all around us, there's so much evidence, so many things that take place in our world that we know is true. That when we have dialogue, and again, you know, we part of what we do, we can't share oftentimes other than the conceptual reality of what we see. And again, because of that, oftentimes it becomes so grievous when we see those that we love not make it, or make the decision not to make it. Because I always believe when you are believers, you can make it, because you serve a common God. And that if you can get past the selfishness, you can make it. Now, it may require you to go and have some counseling. It's no different than being at war. You know, there are times in war when you have to go and have mediators. You have to go and submit to the mediation of a third party. In Psalms itself, the Psalms give us the same kind of instruction. They say go and submit yourself to godly counsel. There's nothing wrong if we have an issue in our marriage to where we go and submit ourselves to godly counsel. There's nothing wrong with that. I don't know why so often, for whatever reason, we sometimes think that there's something wrong when we go and submit ourselves to the leadership of someone else, when that person may have greater knowledge and greater insight into what it is we are attempting to achieve. And if we are attempting to achieve oneness in our marriage, it could be that someone that is a specialist in that area, they may be able to help us. Again, the peace process requires such a thing. As a matter of fact, most contracts that you enter into, they have an arbitration clause to where you have to agree up front that if there is something that happens in that relationship, that you are willing to submit to arbitration, or you are willing to submit to mediation. And it occurred to me the other day that in so many of the relationships we have in place agreements and sub-agreements and sub-agreements, tier one or tier two or tier three, all in an effort to make sure those relationships remain intact. Yet when it comes oftentimes to what I believe is the most critical relationship, the relationship that surpasses and transcends all other relationships, that when it comes to that relationship, that for some reason, we are not willing to subject ourselves and submit ourselves to third-party mediation. I'm here to share with you tonight that I believe that's a serious mistake in the marriage model. Why else would we be shared and told to go and be willing to do that? Why else would that be in the Word of God? I have no clue. See, now, when I mentioned a few moments ago about the peace that Jesus was talking about being different, when you hear the word national security, oh, for our national security, we need to do this for our national security, and we do. And the reason is because we have learned a certain way of living. And we, who represent 6% of the world's population, oftentimes consume 25% of the resources. It doesn't matter how you look at it. When you begin to look at on a per capita, per person basis, the amount of stuff we consume, the amount of water we consume, I mean, it just goes, the list is on and on and on, and what we pay versus other citizens of the world is part of that national security. But see, Jesus said in John 14:27, I'm leaving you peace. I'm giving you my peace. But I don't give you the kind of peace that the world gives. So don't be troubled or cowardly. See, sometimes what cowards do, when we were growing up, and if there were people that were going to bully you, oftentimes if they were bullies, they didn't do it by themselves. They would go and they would get their buddies and they would go and get somebody else. And so oftentimes you would face these so-called cowards or these so-called bullies, but they would have more than themselves. They would have somebody else. And sometimes they would even have a gang. They would just do it on their own. And see, Jesus said we would not do anything cowardly. Look back at the history, again, of people of color in this nation. What did the enemy unleash? He unleashed a spirit through the action of others that use threats and manipulations, but by virtue of how it was done from a cowardly perspective. So you could say that demonic, cowardly activity was able to put dampen the imagination for creative ability in the consciousness and the subconsciousness, both overtly and covertly, both openly and subliminally, into the conscious of people, of a people in this nation. And because of that, it has caused to this day a tremendous, tremendous amount of a mental agony and spiritual retardation and underdevelopment into the mindset of people of color. Because of the cowardly acts of taking a man from his family or taking a woman from her husband and performing acts or doing things that would psychologically damage both men and women. And that psychological damage still exists to this day. When we read about this phenomenon that occurred, as a brother, white brother, Eric Foner, that wrote about Reconstruction and that period after Reconstruction, and he talked about how even some of the Northern soldiers came down and convinced many of the Southern sisters that they were going to take them back north. They impregnated them and left them in the South. And so when they were left in the South, some of them, they became less than what you may call attractive to some of the people there, because now they may have been considered, you know, used goods by these Northerners that came down and laid with them and promised them and then went back north. And see, that same strategy existed even when soldiers went across the water and did the same thing. Not all of them, but some of them. And all of that began to do continually was breed discord, breed discontent, breed lack of trust. All of these spirits released in a people. All of these spirits. So we should not be surprised that it takes a lot of work for us to have a marriage that's in peace. It takes a lot of work. And if we're not willing to put in the work, even though we may be saved, even though we may can jump and shout, even though we may be able to sing, we may be able to preach, teach, we can do all of that. But since we walk around with this psychological baggage, with this damaged, dysfunctional DNA as it relates to how do I treat my wife, or can I trust my husband, can I trust my wife, based on all of this stuff that occurred to us as people. See, this is stuff people don't talk about, even today. They think it's too dangerous for us to speak of and say, why is it that in the 21st century, a brother wants to go upside the head of a sister? Or why is it in the 21st century that some sisters think a brother don't love him or love her unless he goes upside the head? That's dysfunctional thinking. That's inconsistent with the word of God. That's inconsistent with scripture telling you to love your wife as you love your own body. You ain't going to beat up your own body. That's inconsistent with scripture saying that, remember, the woman is a weaker vessel. So, man, you may have to take more blows. It's inconsistent. It's inconsistent with don't let anything come out of your mouth that's corrupt. Only let those things come out of your mouth which are edifying. See, peace in marriage is so difficult because, as we said earlier, we don't have peace within. We don't have peace within because there's some psychological DNA damage that needs to be delivered. Jesus already gave us the answer. He said, you got to receive it. He said, cast it on me. We just read that scripture. He said, take my peace, not the peace that you get from the world, not the peace that says my gun is bigger than your gun. And so since my gun is bigger than your gun, you need to put your gun down in order for you to have peace. No, not that kind of peace. See, when I read the word of God, I was sharing this with, I don't know if it was today or last week, but if Jesus will stop by right now today in this Christian nation, how would we receive him? If Jesus came by today and somebody made a mistake and they said, well, should we forgive him? And Jesus said, yeah, forgive him 70 times 7. How would we receive that? If Jesus came here today and somebody said, oh, look here, Jesus, you know, this man or this woman was caught in adultery. What you say about that? And Jesus said, according to John 8:1, let he that is guilty cast the first stone. What would happen today? Would we run Jesus out of town? Or what would happen today if Jesus was around and somebody, for whatever reason, they got into an affair, they messed around and got somebody pregnant, and they found out about it, and the leader that was guilty went and cried and prayed before the Lord and got down and asked for forgiveness, and it was given forgiveness, and Jesus said, restore him to his position. What would the world say today? See, here's the situations that are real. Not only in the world, what would a wife say today? What would a husband say today? See, today, if you're off the town, let's throw them out. Let's get rid of them. They're no good. And so because of that, we have what's being put together in our society today, what's being developed in our society today, is a person that does not exist. Is a person that's supposed to be perfect. And that person does not exist. Does not exist in our minds. It may exist, but does not exist in reality. I've never met such a person. Never in my life. Someone that walks around with utter perfection, I never met them. If they exist, I've never had the privilege of meeting them. See, when we begin to understand, then maybe we can begin to be more loving in our relationships. Maybe we there will be willing to look for the mediation. The greatest mediator we have is the Holy Ghost. And the greatest book of arbitration we have in a married couple is the Word of God. And we've got the King James, the New King James, the Amplified, the New Living, the New International Version, the Darby. We got so many different translations of that arbitration guidebook, that if we are believers and we love God and we both are looking to the Father, then how in the world could we ever be in this harmony or in this agreement to the point that we cannot bring it back together? But let me tell you why. The reason is because we enjoy holding on to pain. We enjoy holding on to pain. Pain is like a drug. It causes us to go to that place And we enjoy feeling sorry for ourselves. See, the enemy gets us to enjoy feeling sorry for ourselves. So when we feel sorry for ourselves, what does it do? It brings us this grief and this suffering and this anguish and this hurt and this stress and this suffering and this depression. And then all of a sudden, to get rid of the pain, it will cause us to wound ourselves. And then the way we wound ourselves is that we allow ourselves then to get into situations where we know that the end result will be pain or will be a wound. That's dysfunctional development. And that's what so many of us suffer from, is that we've gotten into a pattern to where we like to go back to that place every so often, every now and then, because we literally continue to fail to love ourselves. We continue to have an issue with accepting us for who we are because we've allowed the world and the society to create this image of this person, of this man, or of this woman that does not exist. And when we fall short of that, we condemn ourselves. And to condemn ourselves and to allow it to manifest, we get into arguments and disagreement that, for lack of a better term, they are pre-planned within our own consciousness. Is that we go and we create debate, we create discontent, we create arguments because, you know, we want to justify how we feel. See, that's another thing about feeling. See, faith is not about a feeling. Speaking what you desire is not about a feeling. If I'm sick and I'm already hurting, I don't need to speak. That's why sometimes you go to the hospital and they say, well, oh, what's your pain? Is it a 5 or a 10? Well, that's always a dichotomy for me. I don't want to speak that I'm at a 10. I may be speaking like that. I mean, I may be feeling like that. But why do I want to confirm that by saying, oh, I'm a 10? Oh, I'm an 8? I just said, I'm in pain. I'm in pain. Whatever level it is, it's irrelevant. I'm in pain. It's just almost unbearable. But they want you to speak what's already there. So in their minds, oh, we'll know how we can treat you based on how severe you say it is. But our mental orientation, we want it to be, I'm delivered. I'm set free. Because I had someone come and they gave their life for me. They shed their blood for me. Because of that, I've been set free. I've been delivered. So my orientation, my thought process, I want it to be like the mind of Christ. But when we find ourselves repeating over and over and over again and getting back into that funk space, that's a problem, unless you do this. When you get delivered, and now when you speak of that place, you speak of it because it's going to bring enlightenment and it's going to bring deliverance to somebody else. That God now has prepared your pain. He's repaired your pain. He's gotten you past that place to where now you can speak about that pain. You can speak about that place you've been to, but you can tell somebody else that you decided not to stay there. That God allows you to come forward. God allows you to beat the pain. And now you make it part of your testimony. Well, what more beautiful testimony than two people that God brought together. And they say, you know, in our first 3 years, our first 4 years, our first 6 years, our first 8 years, our first 15 years, our first 20 years, our first 25 years, didn't even know we was going to make it. Somebody said, 25 years? In our first 25 years, you know, I didn't think we was going to make it the next 25. But God, praise God, we made it. Oh, in that first 3, didn't think we make it this 6. That first 10, didn't think we make it this 20. That first 5, didn't think we make it this 10. If everybody's got a got a story like that. Those that decided, you know what? I believe that this oneness is possible. I believe that I want to see what the mystery of the kingdom is. I'm going to ask God to help me become all I can be. I'm going to pray to God that I can transform, that I can renew my mind, that I can become that good, that acceptable, that perfect will of God. If it takes me 3 years, 10 years, 15, 20, that whatever it takes, I'm going to be always in transformation, becoming what God said I could be. I believe tonight, my brothers and sisters, and all of those that listen to this show after tonight, I believe that if you will speak peace, love, and joy, patience, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, diligence, self-control, and believe it in your relationships, that we serve a God who is able in due season. And I pray tonight, Father, for those that I know that I've chatted with even in this last week, Father, several, on the verge of just throwing the towel. I pray, Father, that some kind of way the Holy Spirit might prick their hearts and they'll say, no, I'm not throwing in the towel. I pray that those that are not married, Father, they will not throw in the towel, that they will continue to believe that there is someone for them and that they will indeed be discovered. I pray this, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. And I want to pray tonight, Father, for Chanel's mother. I want to pray tonight, Father, just my mind, her last name at the moment, but Chanel Slaughter's mother down in Embry. I pray, Father, that she will be restored. I pray for the family tonight, Father, that all things will be well. I pray for all of us who are believing that our mothers, that we're still here, that they will be well, our fathers, our families. I pray tonight, Father, you bless them immensely. I pray for our children, and I pray for this nation, the leadership of this nation. I pray, Father, that young people will know how to come to agreement when they have discontent in their relationships. We pray for these families that have been affected all over this nation this past week. And, Father, I pray that tomorrow night when we start a new thing, tomorrow night starting at 7 o'clock, we have Dr. William Hill that will be bringing on his first show, Father, on the broadcast tomorrow night at 7 o'clock, followed by Pastor Kenneth Fireson at 8:30. We pray for a new beginning, that, Father, their shows, Father, will be successful, that they'll be able to bring a word to the people as we continue, Father, to look to diversify the message that's associated with Omega Ministry Group. And, Father, as we close tonight, I thank you for our listening audience. For those that was here, I just pray that something was said that elevate them, to let them know and understand that all things are well, that there is nothing too difficult for our Father, that all things are possible. And, Father, I pray this tonight in this sweet, precious name of Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen, amen, and amen. I want to say this as we close with a great time this weekend. Peace. That's it, peace, that we will be called the children of God. That's what it's all about, peace, in Jesus' name.
With every pass.